This summer, the Paul Green Rock Academy proudly presents their first season of summer workshops. In addition to their legendary year-round program, these summer camps for children ages 5 to 18 are an incredible opportunity for experienced music students and beginners alike. Their camps offer specialized opportunities and incorporate writing, performance, and production. This summer, they're offering rock strings with Tracy Bonham, making a rock album with Marco Benevento, and analog recording with Aaron Freeman, as well as percussion camp with Jason Bowman and songwriting with Gail Ann Dorsey. Paul Green is the ringmaster of all of this. He joins us now to tell us more from Studio A. Good morning, Paul. How are you?
I'm well. Good morning. I was couldn't have said it all that better myself.
Well, hopefully you did. this is a lot going. There's a lot going on.
Yes.
And how does the ball get rolling in all of this? Where you say, okay, we've done this, and now we should do this and this and this.
Great questions. I started the company School of Rock in my living room. Grew it to 57 locations, as such things happen, lightning in a bottle. And I originally got to the point where I realized that was 56 too many for me. You know, I'm not a franchisor, I'm an educator. So while it was a great ride and we got to make movies and do festivals and all that, more and more I was spending times in meetings and on airplanes and less in classrooms teaching. So I sold the company to basically Sylvan Learning Center in 2009. And my family and I decided to, a short time thereafter, to leave New York City after a quick and sort of unexplainable pit stop in Greenwich, Connecticut, which was not my place. No offense to our listeners in Greenwich, yeah. But we had these two, our neighbors on either side. All they did all day was yard work. And then one day I looked out my window and my next door neighbor to the right was clipping our roses. So, and she was like, hi. So I had been friends with Michael Lang because we made a movie together, and him and I had been working on
who was the fame promoter of Woodstock.
Fame promoter of Woodstock, and all around good guy. And we were working on building a music college together, which I'll come back and tell you about that later. But he said, "Well, why don't you do that music college in Woodstock?" And I said, "Wow, that's a really good idea. I can't believe I didn't think of that." So I moved to Woodstock. And I volunteered at the Woodstock Film Festival. I got involved with the Burrcliff Colony. I got a radio show of my own on the Radio Woodstock down there, which I love doing radio. And along the way, I said, gee, I sure miss teaching kids. And I missed it a lot. And having 2 years off from it, my wife had been instrumental in starting the School of Rock. So together we borrowed a little bit of money and started a Rock Academy.
Yeah.
And you know, Woodstock, and you know, when I say Woodstock, I mean Woodstock and 50 miles around it, so all the way up here and
the region.
You know, what an incredible resource of musicians and artists live up here. It's the highest concentration of great musicians I've ever seen, and you know, and that includes New York City. And so very quickly we had Tracy Bonham teaching for us. Very quickly we had Gail Ann Dorsey. Aaron Freeman is the lead singer of the band Ween, the seminal 90s DIY band Ween, moved up here just to teach at the schools. And from my School of Rock experience, the most precious experience I ever had is we started being able to, for lack of a better term, bring rock stars in to play with the kids. So our deepest experience there was John Anderson, the lead singer of Yes, who's not the lead singer of Yes anymore because they go with some other guy, came in once and played with my kids and loved it so much that we ended up doing 37 shows on various tours with him. And he gets to pass, you know, because there's this rich treasure trove of knowledge from that generation. And he gets to pass it on to these kids. And then what he gets from them is he gets to remember why he loved playing music in the first place before the promoters and the band meetings and the managers and the contracts and the ex-wives got involved. Mm. So these camps, I find most summer music camps are like, hey, kids, get in a room and jam all day. And I'm an educator, you know, and we do a bit of that. But I said, Aaron Freeman, whose first two Ween Out records were 4-track recordings, you know, on a portable home recordings. So I said, Aaron, why don't you teach these kids how to do that again? So that camp is actually, it's experimental analog recording. And that way we can take kids who are 6-year-old who can, you know, make noise with bottles and rings and untuned guitars, but also 16-year-olds who can really play the drums. And together, their creativity can form a bond that will allow them to make something in 1 week. You know, because if you were to start, you know, you, anybody, were to start guitar lessons tomorrow, it would take me a week just to teach how to tune the guitar.
Right.
So this way it gives us measurable goals with the most qualified teachers available to teach those goals.
Tell me a little bit about how you get into all of this. Rock School is a great documentary about your work, and I'm not sure how all that happened, of how they even how you got on their radar.
Yeah, well, I was a musician through my early 20s.
Yeah,
I decided, whether it was sour grapes or honest integrity, I decided I wanted to be a rock star in the 70s, not the 90s. You know what the music seemed like was then. It just kind of turned me off. So I had always been interested in academics. Even though I never graduated high school, I got my GED. I went to community college and reestablished myself as a student, and went to Penn studying philosophy, going to go to law school.
Yeah.
To put myself through Penn, I was giving guitar lessons. And I learned that I loved teaching guitar as much as I ever loved playing guitar, and I didn't have to carry equipment home from bars at 3 a.m. So my students, this little community built up around my house and the lessons, and I started bringing my students over to jam at my rehearsal spot. And when two musicians meet each other, they all, you know, the most sort of cliche question is, how long have you been playing? And that's almost immaterial. The real question is, how much do you practice, you know? And by practice, I mean do things that are frustrating to you and get through them so that you can do them better and they become muscle memory. So my students, I was always looking for ways to get them to practice more at home. So by having these monthly jam sessions, the kids started practicing their material, knowing that they would get to come to some cool spot and practice. And they started getting so good that a friend of mine heard them and said, have your kids play my art opening. You know, it was like a pretty big deal in Philadelphia on like the first Fridays with the wine and the cheese. And when I put a date on the calendar, November 7th, you're playing, all of a sudden they started practicing a lot. Mm. So that became the kernel that from which School of Rock came, which was the simple idea of, I mean, you know, I'm just lucky that I got to it first, because I say every other music school that's not doing that is like having a baseball team and only doing practices and never playing games. You know, how motivated can you be? And how good do you know, you know, how do you know how good you actually are until you are up, you know, at bat? So long story short, it took off. Philadelphia Magazine, radio shows, you know, I got a lot of press for it. Right. Saved me from law school. I have a little promise to myself that I'm going to get my law degree just because I set out to do it once.
Sure.
You know, but for now.
You from Philly originally?
I am from Philly originally.
Okay, me too.
Go ahead. Oh.
Yeah.
And I miss the food a lot.
Oh, God.
You know, I'm so spoiled.
Just.
Everything.
The delicacies of Philadelphia.
Yes, Reading Terminal Market.
No.
The original School of Rock was a block from Reading Terminal Market.
Is that true?
Yeah. Imagine getting to go to
Reading. What's the pork place?
The Knicks.
Man.
Can I have a roast pork sandwich with sharp provolone and broccoli rabe?
I didn't even know sharp provolone existed until the Knicks. And then the broccoli. Oh my God, it's good. All right. Okay, go on. So you were very close to there, and then that was that's Center City, Philadelphia.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, it's it reminds me of like, it's a classic story. I failed at what I thought I wanted to do and accidentally fell into what life wanted from me.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I love teaching and I love classic rock more than anyone you'll ever meet. So I get to teach kids classic rock, and it's the music that their parents grew up on, and I get to have them play shows, and I get to meet my favorite rock stars as a peer. You know, like when I first met John Anderson, he came up to me and said, I saw your documentary, you know, it was really great. Yeah, I'd love to be part. Yeah. Here's my one quick story on that. When I first moved to Woodstock, I was being interviewed at Radio Woodstock, and this crazy red haired lady comes in and she pulls me aside and she says, I'm Barbara O'Brien. I'm Levon's manager. He wants to meet you right now. Come with me, you know, and like. Levon's like, I saw your documentary. You yell at those kids. They deserve it. You know, like, and I was like, what? I mean, what better life, you know, could I have?
So the Rock Academy kids are playing a Levon Helm ramble this weekend.
Yes, technically not a ramble because that would be Levon. We're playing the studio.
Yeah.
We're opening for my good friend, and he'll hate this word, but I'm going to say it anyway, protege, Connor Kennedy, who's this fantastic songwriter, singer, guitar player from Saugerties, who's making quite a name for himself. I just executive produced his record. And it's his record release party, and he has my kids opening, along with Mike and Ruthie, who are great folk musicians from the area. And he also teaches at the school.
So I know, and I don't want to rehash all this, but you know, there was the film with Jack Black, School of Rock.
Yes.
And there was a whole thing, you know, and whether that was you or not, or and all that, and you didn't sue, and maybe you should have, and who knows. But all that aside, because people have seen that, because people identify with the idea,
yes.
Does it ultimately help you?
Oh, it's 94% positive. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why I didn't sue. I'd rather walk around claiming that they ripped me off and have them sue me to stop. Burden of proof on their side.
That's a good plan. Yeah. I like that, actually.
You know, and when, you know, I don't want to sue anybody, you know?
No, right.
The only time I got mad at them was when they said they never heard of me.
And they had come in to do some filming, right?
Just, you know, VH1 filmed a pitch pilot before the Rock School documentary.
Right.
Which I passed on because I just didn't like the vibe of it.
And that was Viacom.
And that's Viacom, which is Paramount.
Yeah.
But they said they never heard of me, but my website at the time was schoolofrock.com.
Which goes back before the film. By like 2 years.
By 2 years. Yeah. School of Rock, the first School of Rock show under that moniker was in 97. I filed for my business license in 2000. I became whack when you could do those kind of things.
Yeah.
And the principal photography for School of Rock happened in 2002.
So and your documentary came out when?
Ours was finished filming before School of Rock, but because we didn't have Paramount behind us, the School of Rock came out, I believe, in summer of 2003, and we came out in early summer of 2004.
Okay.
And you had asked this before. That happened. Local filmmaker came to me. He was like the fifth or sixth person to come to me with an idea. And he was just a guy with some cameras. And he said, I want to make a documentary about your school. And I said, what's the upside? He said, we'll get it sold and get it in theaters. I said, you have a deal. And I shook his hand. And those were amazing times. We showed it at Sundance. We took it to the LA Film Festival. We would take it to all the, you know, Eddie Vedder played with us, Marky Ramone. And I still remember the first deal we got was for like a third of what we spent. And I was like, take the deal. And he held out, and eventually we sold it to a company called New Market, which was riding high on My Big Fat Greek Wedding and Passion of the Christ. And they became Picture House. But then it ended up with an R rating because I curse so much. And then you'll love this one. It came out the same weekend as Star Wars Episode III, Revenge of the Sith. So,
yeah, good timing.
So an R-rated documentary about a music teacher on the same weekend as the new Star Wars movie.
Yeah.
It didn't do so well in theaters.
But people within the music community, I mean, you mentioned Levon. I mean, it resonated with them. It resonated with the people, let's face it, with the people who probably you would want it to resonate with.
Exactly. Yeah. It opened a lot of doors for me.
And also what it showed to me was that artists, whether you're just starting out or you've been around for a little while or you are a huge name, have a real interest in working with kids.
Yes. And in fact, one of the best compliments I've gotten or the program's gotten is from Tracy Bonham. You know, and she's a great, you know, she had a big hit in the 90s, yeah, and then a really good artsy career aside from that. She's played violin with Page and Plant. You know, she's just like a great musician who also tasted immense success. She's a music teacher. She said to me, Paul Green, you make teaching music cool.
Yeah.
You know, and it is cool. What's, you know, so the fact that our school has attracted these amazing, you know, like Aaron Freeman broke up Ween. He doesn't want to be Gene Ween anymore. But now he gets to take all those skills that he's learned and teach them to kids. And they don't know who he is. Their parents do. So it gives him an opportunity to work in music without frat boys yelling, Gener, at him, you know?
Which we all try to avoid.
Yes, we do.
To learn more about Paul Green Rock Academy in Woodstock, go to rockacademy.com. They'll tell you about the summer camp intensives and all that is going on, including playing this weekend and a lot going on. Paul, thank you so much for coming in. I really appreciate it.
My absolute pleasure.
It was a blast. Yeah. Thank you. Again, rockacademy.com for more information. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.